Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the H2 and FY26 earnings conference call of Saathab Shipping Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Vedant K. Chaudhary, Whole-time Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Shyam Sundar Banik, Executive Director, Finance and Accounts, Mr. Nilkantha Sahu, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Madhuri Rathi, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We will begin with the opening remarks from the management, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Please note that this discussion may include forward-looking statements which should be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Vedant K. Chaudhary, Whole-time Director and Chief Executive Officer, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Vedant K. Chaudhary. I am the Director and CEO of Saathab Shipping. With me on this call are Mr. Banik, our Executive Director, Mr. Sahu, our Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Rathi, our Company Secretary. This is a moment actually I've been looking forward to. This is our first full-year earnings as a listed company, and it gives me great opportunity to speak directly to the people who have placed confidence in us and who want to place confidence in Saathab. So let me start with FY26 and what it is exactly not. Our net profit actually grew by 25% to 14.72 crores, and our earnings grew by earnings per share grew 11.5% to 9.13. Revenue, however, was broadly flat as compared to last year at 97.55. And I want to address that directly because it's the first thing that you guys will ask me. FY26 actually was not a great year or a year of steady-state operation. We had many challenges, and it should be taken as a year where we have been building our foundations. We commenced the large project of ONGC of Canada Pride, about 108 crores, in September last year. We came out of the Nigeria project last year itself, again in September. We entered Chennai Port, the new client that we've added to our list. And all these developments, mobilization, crew development, and operational setup, it takes time. So for the fact that the full financial year in 2026, you will not see the entire result, but you will see it in the 2027 for whatever we have worked in this year. In short, I would like to say the wind is actually at our back, and we are going forward. There are great initiatives from the government which are coming forward. For example, this Union Budget has allocated about 5,100 crores to the Ministry of Shipping and Waterways, which is a 48% increase from the last year. So Saathab is actually not hoping to benefit from these trends, but we are already in the position to benefit from these trends with ONGC's offshore oil fields at Paradip, at JNPA, at Chennai, and every major port in our network, including the oil spill network that we are actually making. This company was built over the last 30 years, one contract, one vessel, one relationship at a time. We listed not to cash out, but we listed to grow faster, to be held accountable, and to invite you to be a part of what we are doing. So like I said, FY26 was a foundation. FY27 is where we'll start to where you will start to see the building. With that, we will hand over the floor to our people, to you, to take any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on the touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one now. Your first question comes from the line of Jignesh from Vidarth Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
So my first question was related to our balance sheet. In that fixed assets, if I can see in FY25, was around 202 crores. So which has come down to 145 crores in March 26. So, and we have also done preferential for buying some more vessels. So I could not understand what vessel were sold and what was added.
Okay. So, in the year FY25-26, sir, we sold our vessel Aditri, which was in Nigeria. So we have taken that off our fixed asset schedule. And there was one more vessel, Bali, which has been sold off for about 2.5 crores approximately, which has also been taken off the fixed asset schedule. So this is as far as the balance sheet is concerned. Is there anything else that you wanted to check on this?
Yeah, so what we have added any vessels which will yield revenues going forward?
So, currently, we have added some vessels, or there is a lot of plan to add vessels this year, but it is not reflected in FY26.
Okay. So it will come in H1, all the additions.
Correct, correct. That's right, sir.
So, and in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you have built a foundation in FY26. So how will FY27 pan out in terms of revenues from different streams? If you can make us understand how it is going to be different going forward.
So in FY27, we are expecting a further increase in our revenues from our offshore business and our port business also. We are also expecting a flattened revenue from the oil spill response business because some of the contracts are going to be ending by the end of this year.
Okay. So, yes. So can you elaborate more on the offshore and the port business? What is the monthly or quarterly run rate based on the project that we have in hand?
See, currently, we are totally doing about 8 to 9 crores on a monthly basis. This is in the month of the season business. In the off season, it will decrease by about 4 crores per month, where we are also trying to garner more revenue through our the tug and tow and the salvage business that we are trying to set up. So that will also try to offset the loss of revenue that we are having during the monsoon season. So this is where I can talk about the offshore business. The port business and the oil spill response business are on a 365-day basis. They will remain close to what they are on a monthly basis.
Okay. So port will be around 1 crore.
More than 1 year, month year. It will be about
On
2 years.
an average basis, we can add 12 to 15 crore from the port business, and
Correct.
From the offshore business, we can add around 75 to 80 crores.
Sir, I will, yeah,
Yearly.
approximately, yes, that's right, sir.
So this is based on the assets that we already have on the balance sheet.
That's right, sir.
And from the preferential that we have raised and the new business that you are entering, so what can we add from that business going forward on a steady state basis?
So the preferentials that we have raised and the new businesses that we are entering, we are trying to, first of all, get in new vessels for our port business, which we already have contracts in hand, and we are looking forward to get more contracts also in the similar business. So we will be placing orders for new boats to be made. That is how we are growing the port business, actually.
Okay. Right. And on the margin front, how big improvement are we expecting? since we oil spill is going to be lower, so what can be the improvement in margins?
So the margins will be protected, even if oil spill is not there. And we are looking forward to improving it, in fact, slightly. But on the margin front, like if you're talking about PAT margins, it will be protected, sir.
No, on the EBITDA front.
EBITDA side, I think I'll just give it to my CFO, sorry.
Yeah.
So EBITDA will be also improving because we are trying to minimize our operational costs.
Okay. So can we expect around 30% EBITDA that we can maintain on steady state in this?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a possible percentage you are talking, and we can achieve it, sir.
Okay. Yeah, and one more thing I could not understand that we have raised preferentials. So in our balance sheet, the total equity, that is equity share capital and other equity, is it not reflecting that? Because it is showing 101 crore.
No, no, sir. It is already added in the front of the balance sheet, and it is in the schedule of the change of the equity shareholder. That is there in the schedule four. Statement of change.
Because last year it was 99.5 crore, and this year it is 101 crore. So we have also got our profit, and we have also raised the preferential. So it should be, I believe it should be higher.
It should be higher because the that loss of sale of Aditya, it is adjusted there. No, that is the reason. Still, we are higher side of last year.
Okay. What is the quantum of the loss that we have adjusted?
34 crore.
₹34 crores.
Yes, sir.
For that Nigerian vessel?
Yes. I can say we have saved our further loss. That is the reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Paddy Amarnath Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Amarnath.
Sir, first question. First of all, I appreciate the team of Saadav for taking this initiative of speaking to shareholders. Being an SME company, it is not mandatory. Still, you have taken up that initiative. Really good initiative. Sir, my question is first question. Actually, our operating margin reduced from 30% in previous financial year to 20% in present financial year. Any reasons attributed to that particular fall in the EBITDA margin, sir?
I'll ask my CFO to take this question.
Okay. So this is because of our delay in vessel mobilization and other assets. Because if you see our Kandla Pride, it has given to ONGC at the September.
September last week.
Yeah, that is the main reason I can say.
Okay, sir. And sir, during Arihant conference where Saadav team participated, it was informed by the management that our profit margin would be around 15%-18%. Whereas in January to March quarter, our profit margin is single digit, less than 10%. So other expenses actually tripled in the January to March quarter. Any particular reason for that, sir? Profit margin shock?
That was the main reason is like because of increase in the operational expenditure and some little expenditure related to vessel running only.
Okay. You meant to say those contributed to other expenses increase?
See, I will tell you, sir, as per Company Act schedule now, like finance and depreciation and that office staff and material cost, other than all the expenditure coming under the other expenditure. That is the reason.
Okay. So during the previous conversation with other investors, you were saying that you are targeting 30% EBITDA margin for the financial year 2027. So how do you increase from 20% to 30%, sir? Because how do you be able to increase it? EBITDA margin for the coming financial year?
Yeah, Amarnath, I'll take that question. So basically, we are trying to improve our operational efficiencies simply by making the vessel ready every time the client needs it. And plus, we are also implementing future-ready ERP systems, which are actually which will help us streamline our procurement processes and a lot of other things and get our cost down. So that is why our CFO in conference can say that we can do a 30% EBITDA.
So we can expect 30% EBITDA for the financial 27 and going forward, sir?
Yes, for sure.
Sir, a few more questions to you, sir. Well, first one, order book. Can you please spell out, in the presentation, there was no mention of the current order book as of 31st March 2026.
Correct.
Earlier, you used to share it. Okay, any reason for not sharing it?
No, nothing. It's just we've missed out on it this time. We will share it. We'll share the order book.
Can you please spell it in the so that everyone can hear it out, sir? I hope other investors.
Correct. So,
if you have the figures, sir.
As of 31st March, we have an order book of about 400 crores.
Okay, sir. The exhibition timeline, sir, spilled over to how many years?
This will be spilled over up to FY30 or more, actually, sorry. There are more. So there are some contracts which are 7 years, 10 years also. So
okay.
That's right.
Okay. So in that case, sir, can you, is there any revenue target you have set yourself for the financial 27 and 28? In Arihant Carbon's conference, it was informed, 125 crores for the financial 27 and 180 crores for financial 28. Is that right or you are sticking to that?
So I will only mention about 27. So we are looking at about 15 to 20% increment on our current values.
Current, so around 120 crores, 115 to 120, you mean to say, sir?
Correct, that's it.
So with EBITDA margin 30.
That's it.
So that translates to higher increase in the bottom line, if that is the case.
That's right.
Sir, if we can observe in last year, January itself, we have signed an MOU with the United Petro for the Greenfield port in Odisha. Any progress on that, sir, after the meeting with the Chief Minister of Odisha in October 27th, more than six months over?
That's right. It's more than a year over, actually.
Yeah.
After the MOU was actually signed as a consortium between United Petro Group and Salo Shipping with the government of Odisha to set up a ship repair, ship building and a offshore supply base in Odisha. After that, we have had several rounds of discussion with the government over there. We have also formed a SPV joint venture between the UPG Group and Salo that is called United Salo Integrated Maritime Private Limited, in which Salo is a 26% joint venture partner. We have also been, we've been approaching the government of Odisha for the land. We have identified the land and done the preliminary survey. The government officials have also done the preliminary survey, and it is with the government to give us the land. Having said that, we understand that, there is quite a lot of delay from that side which is happening. We are also exploring other locations in other states, actively exploring it.
So you mean to say that this project in Odisha may get cancelled also?
No, no. So the project in Odisha will remain. We are looking at other states where we can have a faster deployment time.
Okay. So with the same tie-up of United Petro, sir?
Correct.
Okay. Actually, there is a lot of buzz about Tamil Nadu port, Greenfield port, which MOU signed very recently. Our MOU signed almost 1.5 year ago. Still, I don't know why, there is not much happening on the ground.
Actually. Our frustration is greater, actually.
Yeah. So, land allocation is the main issue, what I see, it is not yet given from the government. So, any hurdles are there because state and central, both same government, on cooperation is there?
No, we are not facing any hurdles because that say state and central are the same government. It's just with the government machinery that is working the way it is. So we are in close touch with them.
What are the other possible locations you are
looking
at? Sorry
to interrupt.
Yeah, I'll be on the queue, sir. I'll be on the queue. Sir, can I squeeze one more question or should I be on the queue?
Sir, we request you to return to the queue for further follow-up questions, please.
I'll be waiting in the queue. I just have a couple of final questions. I'll be waiting in the queue.
Sure. Thank you. Participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek from James Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, Abhishek. Please go ahead.
So just a couple of questions. One is the follow-up from the previous participant. On the United Petro joint venture front, sir, even if we get, the land allocated to us in the next 3 to 6 months, say, so what is our roadmap going forward? I mean, what kind of investments are we looking at in that joint venture, and what is the kind of return or, you know, potential opportunity size for that joint venture?
Okay. So Abhishek, the roadmap is like that. Once the land is allotted, it takes about 3 to 6 months for the DPRs to happen. The initial studies and everything, and by the time we get all the clearances to, or rather the consent to establish, we can then establish. Say it will take about 18 months to start off the first job. We are looking at approximately a total of about 5,000 crores to be put in phase-wise manners. It is a large infra project, so at this point, I cannot tell you anything about the return of equity and all those metrics right now.
No, that's okay. I mean, I just wanted to understand, you know, what kind of opportunity are we looking at, you know, first, say, offshore drilling and then, you know, the land, the shipbuilding part of it or ship repair part of it. So what kind of opportunity is there with this kind of a joint ventures that we're looking at?
Yeah, so we are looking at majorly with shipbuilding and ship repair with the added benefit of having, the offshore rig repair and offshore catering to the offshore market also, both on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Okay. So this offshore market, East Coast, West Coast, what is exactly our, part of the deal, and what is the exactly opportunity that we are looking to tap here?
So I understand that you want to understand about what is SADHAV's part of the deal.
Yeah, right.
Correct. So SADHAV is going to be the operating partner for the entire JV, for all the shipbuilding projects or all the ship repair projects that is going to be taken up, or even the marine spread that is required. SADHAV will be the forefront for it.
Okay. So any shipbuilding that will get into, henceforth will be with United Petro, or we can also, set up our own facility for different kind of a shipbuilding segment or, anything of that sort. How does that work?
There is no exclusivity that is in our agreement as of now. So, and shipbuilding, like I said, it's a large infra project, so not many people are with that kind of a capex plan.
Right. And we were also talking about, partnering with South Korean or Japanese players in the last conference. So, where are we on that front, and any update on those lines?
So, we already have them in line, but we have not got them to the limelight yet because we just want to get the land first.
Acha, okay. Sure. And electric tug part of the business, I guess we were also looking to get into long-term contracts with the government.
Correct.
Yeah, anything on that front?
So, there are quite a few, I would say, Mumbai port and Calcutta port and... Kolkata port and I think Chennai port also has come out with electric tug tenders. Mm. We do not believe that, we are of the firm belief that the capex for the electric boat is too high as of today. Unless it comes down, the expected charter rate on the annuity basis for 15 years is not making commercial sense. So that's why we are not participating in that.
Okay, sure. That helps. I guess this is all I have at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead. Mr. Kapoor, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Mr. Kapoor,
if you have muted the line from your end, we request you to unmute and please proceed with your question. As there is no response from the line of current participant, we'll move on to our next question. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Jignesh from Vitarth Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, broadly, if I want to understand that
yes.
We have raised the preferential to deploy in some vessels, but since we have incurred a loss in that African ship, so our deployment will be much lower in the new vessels because we are not able to see any growth in revenues in next 1 year.
So I'll just explain you. So the raising of preferential was for not only for buying new vessels, but also for repayment of our high cost loans. So we have done that to whatever we have promised. And so up to approximately 5 to 6 crores we have already repaid. So that actually really eases our monthly outgo as well. So this is one of the other factors that I think you missed out on, or like we missed out on telling you actually.
Yeah. No, but if we see the kind of this government inputs that we are getting for this sector, we are just trying to grow at from 97 crores, we are telling 115 to 120 crores. So, I think being such a big opportunity, we should have ambition to grow much faster and must be ready with lot of vessels and with lot of capital for tying a lot of vessels. So what is strategy on this front?
Okay. I'll just briefly talk to you about the offshore supply vessels market scenario. As of today, not only because of the Gulf crisis, but before the Gulf crisis also, the asset pricings were for all across were very high, and the Gulf crisis has just because of the Gulf crisis it even risen further. So we as a company, we find that because the market pricing is very high for assets as of today, we do not want to get caught in a high asset value and then get stuck in it. Because when we buy an asset, we have to buy it for the next 10 to 15 years at least. Our belief is to buy low and then stick with it actually. So that is where we are. Otherwise, it's not going to make sense for buying at a high price actually. So we are trying to build our war chest for the next cycle, which is going to go down whenever it goes down.
So maybe if the market looks like the pricing will remain high for 6 to 12 months, so we will delay our plans for buying new vessel.
We will delay our plan unless there is a confirmed contract against the that we have and it makes commercial sense, then only we should buy. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. So, please, maybe I'm not aware what kind of loss that the loss that you made in the vessel. Can you give some history? What was the contract like and why we had to sell this at a loss, broadly related to this transaction?
Okay, so I'll just tell you the history. I think regarding the figures, I'll give it to my CFO. We bought this vessel in January 2023. She was bought at a very low value and almost like a scrap plus some premium price. And she was in West Africa that time. We had then transported her to Nigeria and then we started to refabricate. It was a dead ship.
So we got her running, and it took some time. In Nigeria, we had a lot of issues operationally. We went over budget also in our working. And finally, in March of last year, we could operationalize her. We used her for one contract, and then we then had to be standing for some time. Then in I think June of last year, we got a Chevron contract, obviously through the local parties. We performed that contract, and then we sold it off to a party, a counterparty who is based out of Nigeria itself. We faced a lot of issues operationally over there, you know, to like, unlike in India, the way we work, it's not there. So, and statutory issues also in terms of, you know, the local governance and everything. So we had to actually, we wanted to get out of the place as soon as possible. So that is why my CFO has said that it is good that we got out as soon as possible. So I'll give it to him to give you the figures if required.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our original cost up to March 25th, no, it was about 76 crore, and it was sold in $4.5 million, which was about 40 crore. So we got loss up to 36 crore. Okay, so other vessel, we got profit about 2 crore, so net of 34 crore, that is the considering the March 26. That is the breakup, sir.
Sir, request you going forward, please share all these details upfront with all the investors, because I don't think this was reflected anywhere during the Arihant call also, that we are having issues in all this. So this impacts the balance sheet and, yeah, and the growth going forward. So this does not reflect, yeah, in a good way from the management side.
Okay. Noted, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akash Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. My first question is that during our FY 26, we secured multiple contracts from Chennai Port or Paradip Port and something like that. So what is the cumulative value of these contracts and expected revenue contribution from them?
So, yeah, hi, Akash. So we basically secured the Chennai Port contract was for about 8.5 crores. The Paradip contract, I don't have the figures with me. I can get back to you, Akash, but yeah, that is one thing. And then the JNPT contract recently, which we got, was about 17.5 crores.
Okay. Okay, sir. So, post everything, what would be our outstanding order book right now?
As of 31st March, it's about 400 crores.
Okay. 400 crores. Okay. And sir, what would be the, I mean, average tenure of executing these orders?
So they range between 3 years to 7 years. Some actually, one of the contracts are up to 10 years also. So yeah, that is how it is. Each client has a different contract duration.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. And I just want to know that what is the current fleet size and average fleet age across offshores?
So across offshore, we our fleet age would be so if you take Anusha inside, it could be about 17 years in the offshore side of it. In the port services and oil spill response, it will be about 6.5 years, 7 years right now. Yeah.
7 years. And sir, what is the period post which we, you know, change the fleets?
So we typically tend to change the fleet after 25 years, but there have been recent DG circulars which are asking us to basically the government is asking the owners to renew the fleet at a younger age, say about 20 years right now.
Okay. And so the fleets that we usually purchase are the new ones or are they, you know, secondhand?
So depending on the segment that we are operating in offshore, we buy secondhand simply because the capital required for a new one is way, way too much. For port services and for oil spill response, we buy or rather we tend to build new ones.
Okay. I just wanted to understand because we are renewing our fleet for a post every 25 years and what we have are second hand, so you know, just the efficiency of those fleets because
Correct.
rusting might happen at that point of time, so that's why.
Yes.
Okay. And so just my last question would be that our current pipeline, so can you throw some light on that?
Okay, so in terms of order book, yeah, we have the ONGC contracts, which are for Sagar Anusha and Canada side, which will run up to February or rather FY30. Sorry, 28 and FY29. So we have the other orders, which are, you know, up to FY31. In the pipeline, we have in terms of the JNPT contract, which we need to perform, which we've just recently won. We are already performing one contract already. We have to mobilize two more vessels to JNPT, and then another two more follow-up order, which we have just received. So totally of four vessels, which will go to JNPT right now. We have, you know, Saroja Blessing, which is with us. We are performing individual, rather spot two jobs for her. So that is the lucrative market that we are trying to tap on right now. Yes, and then we have the contract from a defense company in India. So that will start in sometime in September, October.
Okay, sir. Okay, that helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and then one. The next question comes from the line of Diya from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes, Diya, please go ahead.
Sir, can you please explain again why EBITDA margins fell in this year?
Yeah, I'll just give it to my CFO again.
Yeah. Hello, please come again.
Sir, can you please explain why our EBITDA margins fell this year?
This is because of hiring operational expenditure due to delay in mobilizing the vessels.
Okay, sir.
Hello.
And the 17 crore order is for the JNPT?
Ha, yeah, the CEO will explain.
Yeah, we also the 17.5 crore order that we have from JNPT, that is yet to be performed. So we will be giving orders to our to a building company, boat building company, which will then do the boat building for us.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Diya.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arvind Singh from Manthan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Arvind, please go ahead.
Okay, sir. So my question is on the broader cycle, like our peers, not neck-to-neck peers, but like Great Eastern Shipping, Seamake, are expanding their vessel fleet. And on the other hand, you are talking about that you are not expanding the fleet because the prices have risen. But don't you think this is a multi-year cycle where government is pushing the oil exploration in the onshore-offshore facilities? So just wanted to know your thought process on this.
So yes, so that's a good question. So I'm not sure if Great Eastern or even Seamake is rather Seamake is not my direct competitor because they're in a different segment in the offshore. But Great Eastern, yes, I can take that question, or even for that matter, ABS Marine. At present, they are not looking at expanding. I'm sure. I'm not sure if they are expanding or not. The other question that you had is, you know, the order book from or rather because the government is looking at ramping up exploration and production. To this, I would say that, you know, we've been waiting for tenders to come out of oil and gas companies for our services, which are actually only trickling. It is not the way it used to come. So we are waiting and watching this because I don't know if you've read today's ET Infra. ONGC is actually looking at outsourcing the entire work of marine logistics to a marine logistics and shore-based to a single party. So that will also put a question mark on the current tendering system that they have. So we are not sure even like we are not sure if ONGC will come out with any kind of tenders. So number one, we will not do a speculative purchase or rather a large speculative purchase of that kind of an asset size. And it has to be backed by a contract. So unless we have a contract, we'll not go ahead and buy an asset.
Okay, we're great to hear. Sir, and sir, one more broader terms, like what will be the major growth phase for the company? Like we are saying that we are not acquiring the business, and next 5 to 6 years, what's the company's growth plan?
Correct. So, I am expecting the order book to increase from for the 5 to 6 years of growth plan. We are expecting a sizable increase in the order book from oil and gas revenues. We are looking at expanding our service line or other service bouquet in the port services to get into tugs, especially green tugs. But with the current kind of CapEx model, it's not workable for us. We are also looking at getting into creating a large oil spill response organization, which will cater to most of these marine exigencies that happen in India. So we are working on all three fronts, other more fronts also. The major growth also will come from the shipbuilding side, where we have partnered with UPG. So we already have a joint venture in place, and we are looking forward to something happening from there also.
Okay, and sir, just one follow-up question. Exactly what we are doing in the shipbuilding, like, sorry to my, pardon my ignorance, but just wanted to know your thought process. What's the company's plan on shipbuilding?
Yeah, so for shipbuilding, we have partnered with a company called UPG Group. They are based out of Singapore and Malaysia. We have a JV with them, where we are 24% partners, 26% partners with them. We have an MOU with the government of Odisha to create a shipyard, a ship repair, and an oil offshore service base, offshore supply base. We have also identified the land over there, and we are waiting for the government approvals to allocate the, for them to allocate the land.
What kind of CapEx we are planning to do in this venture?
This venture, we are looking at about 5,000 crores in a phase-wise manner.
Okay, so can you give me any tentative timeline, like what?
At present, I'm not sure where, if I can give a timeline, but from the date of allocation of land, we are looking at about 18 months. We can start the first operations.
And sir, one last question, that in the margin front, we have little bit disappointed with the margins. So do you think that in the FY 2027, we can see a significant improvement in the margin?
I'm not sure if I can say significant improvement, but we'll see some improvement in the margin.
Okay. Okay, sir. Great to hear. Thank you, and all the best for future.
Thank you, Arvind.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Paddy Amarnath Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi, sir, again. So actually, we have some partnership or tie-up with the Kongsberg Maritime Services, if I'm not wrong, out of Norway, which is a pioneering shipbuilding, ship repair, and also we have sister companies out of offshore. So why can't we make use of these two partners for the shipbuilding, which is being given very high trust from the government of India, right?
Okay. So Amarnath ji, the partnership with Kongsberg Maritime is for a particular kind of equipment which is on Coast Guard and Navy ships. And that is again with the related party, which is Sadhav Offshore Engineering. So it is not with Sadhav Shipping, first of all. So secondly, Kongsberg is not into shipyard building, but they do give a lot of OEM representations and the parts and equipment for shipyards. But not per se that they are interested in shipbuilding. They do a lot of design work and give a lot of equipments, but I'm not sure if they are interested in shipbuilding. They have a very good equity and a brand image in India also. and we also have very good equations with working.
So do you have any plans to make use of the technology that Kongsberg possesses and Sada Offshore has?
If our shipyard business or any other business demands it, and if the Kongsberg equipment or their technology is the best fit for it, we will definitely go ahead.
Sir, one more question related to our interest on the borrowings. Our rate of interest on the borrowings is almost around 12 to 15 average. Whereas our competitor ABS Marine borrowings rate of interest is around 8 to 10%. Can you please highlight the reason why there is such a difference between the rate of borrowing?
I'll just ask my CFO to talk about it.
Sir, see, last year we had taken some unsecured loan where it was you are thinking is higher side. That is the reason we went for the preference share and we repaid that also. So this 26-27, there will not be no high cost loan in there. And it will be drastically come down our finance cost also.
Sir, present average rate of interest on our borrowings, can you please specify a average rate of interest?
Yeah, before unsecured loan it is 9.5.
Okay. Sir, before? Pardon?
Unsecured loan, which is already repaid in the out of the preference share. Yeah.
Okay. So now it came down to single digit.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, one more question to Vedant sir. Sir, actually, you are telling that 15 to 20% revenue increase with 30% EBITDA margin for the financial 27. Do you want to give us some visibility on the financial 28 and 29 with so much thrust on the shipping side from the government of India? Any targets you have set internally from the management side that we want to grow to a certain stage?
No, not yet. Those targets are not set yet. As of now, I cannot even say anything about FY28. So we can only talk about FY27 today.
So we have the order book 400 crores, which is spilled over to almost 5 years. And you are targeting 20% revenue increase. That means at least 120 crores in the financial 27, sir. So any short-term orders you are expecting which will be finished and booked in the same financial year?
The order book for 400 crores is spread over the next 7 years, actually. So, it's not that 400 divided by 5. So, we can look at some of the contracts getting over this year, getting some contracts this year. So, on a mixed way, we are looking at an increase of 15 to 20%.
Okay. Right now, we have Canara Pride and Sada Vanusha. Both are fetching almost 5 crores per month, if I'm not wrong, sir. Both put together. Is that right?
That's right.
So, that 5 crores will happen only in one half of the year, right, sir? The other half of the year, it will be reduced, rather, due to season.
Negative. So, we are looking at only for Anusha, the revenues will not be there during the monsoon period. Okay. Just 4 months.
Okay. Canada Pride will continue for entire 12 months.
Correct. That's right.
Okay, sir. So, that's it from my side, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question coming from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Saket. Yes, Saket, sir.
Hope I'm audible, sir.
Yes, Saket, please go ahead.
Yeah, Namaskar, sir. Sir, firstly, with the asset sale that we have done for this half, how will this impact the revenue going ahead? And if you could just give us some color, how the remaining, the current year, ensuing year is shaping up in terms of these volatile times?
Correct. With the asset sale that has happened, we've lost about 30 to 40 crores of our revenue per annum. Having said that, there are also a lot of costs associated which are not normally accounted for. So we are little happier on that side. Regarding the, I didn't quite get your next question, Saket. Please, can you repeat?
So next question was taking into account the current environment, especially with the geopolitical setups. How are you seeing our revenue profile for the company now with shaping up for this ensuing current year? If you could just give us some color, more color
okay.
on the same.
Okay, great. So, you know, thankfully we are looking at you know, all our the revenue projections that we have given are the confirmed revenue projections in terms of the contracts are confirmed. We have so that is where we can be confident on giving you that projection. There will be a constant stress on the cost side of it because of the geopolitical angle, where we are seeing that the fuel and every other expenditure is getting increased. Thankfully, again, you know, most or rather 99% of our contracts are where the charterer has to give the fuel, the client has to give the fuel, so we are not directly impacted that way. Yes, but then the other associated costs are getting impacted, so we are also looking at how to mitigate those. You know, we are also the new businesses that are supposed to come in are getting delayed because of this geopolitical crisis actually.
Okay, and then sir, in terms of fleet addition, any steps for asset addition we are contemplating going ahead, or how is that aspect?
Okay, like I said before, you know, unless we have a confirmed contract, we are not going to add in a vessel. Not in a contemplative way that we will be buying. We are, for smaller assets, yes, we are doing, we will be placing orders as per what contracts we have or what we are expecting to have. But for larger assets like OSVs or, you know, other assets where the value is much higher, we will get the confirmed contract and then only we will buy the asset. That is the philosophy that we have.
Okay. Right, sir. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This concludes our question and answer session and the conference call for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. On behalf of Sardar Shipping Limited, we conclude this conference call. Thank you, everyone, and you have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.